Here's the sort of culmination. Here's our friend Shannon back with us again for the third time, because he has this important result about how power, signal, noise, and channel capacity are related to each other. I'm sorry. Signal, noise, channel capacity, and bandwidth are related to each other. So we know that the stronger the signal, the higher the channel capacity, right? Because you can, as we did there on the little slide I had with the little devil, you can get more bits per second if you have more power. We know that the more noise there is, the less channel capacity, right? Signals will get confused with each other if the noise is enough to distort the signal. We know that more bandwidth gives you higher channel capacity. And the way these three things fit together is in this equation, the channel capacity is the bandwidth times the base 2 logarithm of 1 plus the signal-to-noise ratio. So if you think of this, you know, if the, this is actually kind of, you know, pretty interesting equation, but just to take one extreme case to see why it makes sense. If the signal power is zero, there shouldn't be any channel capacity, right? If there's no signal, then it's clearly not going to be any way to carry noise. And this gets you exactly that result. So the S over noise, assuming that noise is non-zero. So if S is zero, this is log of 1 plus 0. Log of 1 plus 0 is, what's log of 1? What's the log of 1 plus 0? Zero. Zero, right. Okay, so then, you know, B times 0 is 0, so you get the zero channel capacity. So that's what this 1 is doing in here. It's you know, it's right. You think it doesn't belong there, but because you're taking a logarithm of it, it does. And this is the logarithmic relationship that I was talking about before, where you had, you know, 8 levels to get 3 bits and so on. And this thing's called the Shannon-Hartley theorem. So channel capacity goes up linearly with bandwidth, but logarithmically with signal-to-noise ratio. And that's going to have real consequences when we come back and talk about radio and television, digital broadcasting, and all this stuff in another week or so. So remember that one. Okay, and then finally, what I said we were going to come back to, which is why is binary actually better than, you know, some other number of digital levels? Well, noise in communication is generally uncontrollable. You can't say, rather than, you know, shining a brighter light today, let's just make the fog go away, right? The fog is nothing that we can control. You have to deal with it. That would be the noise in a visual community. Or, you know, let's try to reduce the extraterrestrial radiation that is, you know, interfering with our radio broadcast. You don't get to do that. You only get to control the signal. So if you assume that the noise is uncontrollable, and you go back to that equation, right, you can't do anything about noise. You want to increase channel capacity, you've got to either increase the bandwidth or increase the signal power. Right? If you can lower the noise, so much the better, but it's usually uncontrollable. But power is really precious, right? Most of you who have your laptops here, about half of you who have your laptops here actually have them plugged in. Half of you don't. But if you don't plug in your laptops and go to every class and keep them open like this, you're not going to have any battery power left, right? So conserving battery power is really important. So if you only use 2 levels, that's the minimum number of levels you can have, and may draw use any distinction at all in the signal power. So, you know, if you we're in a communication scenario, you could use 1,000 times less power. If you can get 10 times more bandwidth, you can get the same channel capacity, right? Because this is a log of 1024, 1023 to be completely precise. This is log of 1 plus the signal-to-noise ratio. So getting a little more bandwidth is as valuable as getting a lot more power in a communication scenario. So you try to minimize the power usage, and that basically, you know, restricts you to binary. So here's the one slide summary coming up of digital communication. And again, we'll just sort of assume it's audio. Instead of amplitude modulation or frequency modulation, you use what's called technically pulse code modulation, which means turning the analog signal into a series of digital pulses, binary pulses to be precise. And you quantize the analog signal, so get it into a bunch of, you know, sample it at discrete times. Remember, there's all that Nyquist criterion stuff about how frequently you have to do it. You decide how many different levels you're willing to approximate. You approximate the signal by a series of discrete levels. Here I've just assumed that there were like about 8 levels. You take these numbers, 5, 7, 2, 1, 2, and so on, turn them into a bit stream, numerically encoding the 5 in binary and the 7 in binary and the 2 in binary, and let's say, you know, 3 bits each, and you get some bit stream out of it. Turn that into a sequence of pulses, and then you send the digital pulses rather than that blue original analog signal that we started with. All right, and here's the summary of what happens to the digital signal as it goes from one place to another. So we did the sampling, you quantize it, you do whatever source coding you want so that you don't lose, so that it arrives error-free. You modulate it, you transmit it, you threshold it, decode it, and regenerate the signal at the other end. So here we go. This one's called, first step is called analog to digital conversion, A to D, where you take the blue wave and turn it into a discrete set of levels. It's, of course, the thing at the other end, which we haven't talked about, where you take the digital signal and have to turn it back into audio, is called D to A conversion. With enough computing, you can do all of this source coding stuff, so as you get an error-free transmission. And this business of transmitting and thresholding repeatedly to restore the digital signal happens as many times as the digital signal gets passed along from one place to another. So if you imagine the signal going as, you know, internet packets, for example, just imagining your peer-to-peer file sharing application moving audio as internet packets from place to place, this middle part of transmission and thresholding is really the place where, you know, digital technology is key, because it can be repeated over and over again once on every hop. Right, that's a complete summary of how the digital communication sort of scenario plays itself out.